share with us.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, I'm John. It's a pleasure to be here and a privilege to give the sermon today. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. These are the first words out of my mouth, spoken aloud every morning as my feet hit the floor, sitting on the edge of my bed. In these first moments of my day, I say three prayers. First, though, I spend several minutes centering myself, doing a body scan and some breath work, before I actually begin saying and physically feeling the words of these prayers. I usually move promptly into this position on the edge of my bed as soon as I realize that I'm awake. If I'm not willing, if the bed is too warm, or if I wish that I could go back to sleep but can't, I commence the centering and breath work while I'm lying in bed. The intention, the hope, be not to enter into thought before praying. That first prayer, a psalm, is one of praise and gratitude. Then I say a second prayer, Psalm 121, a prayer about receiving heavenly help. The third and last prayer is our own creed, one of the richest and most beautiful and helpful prayers that I know. I then straighten up my room, make my bed, set up a sacred area for my sitting or meditation, and scoot Joey and Wookie, my cats, out of the room, all the time being mindful again not to start thinking. I then sit down to a 30 to 45 minutes of silent meditation, followed by 15 to 20 minutes of prayer, spoken aloud and physically felt as earlier. These final prayers are a combination of memorized scripture, well-known prayers, and prayers that I've crafted for myself. There are also periods of unstructured free verse prayer and silence, which I also consider prayer. I began this morning's sermon with a prayer that I begin my morning prayers with, and I will end the sermon with a prayer that I end my morning prayers with also, a prayer that I have crafted myself. How I pray or ask and you will receive. The vehicle for my message today is definitely a very personal one. How I pray, a compendium of my personal experiences of my journey with prayer. So I had to ask myself why my experience with prayer, not some academic, ostensibly theological message on prayer that would be more suited to a broader audience, such as this audience, or any audience would most likely be. Though I know it to be true that all our individual life experiences are unique, that the approaches, ways, methods, and tools that work for each of us vary widely, that my particular vehicle may not be your vehicle, the broader, more universal message that I do want to impart to you today, my experience that I want to share with you is this: ask and you will receive. As my message took form, I realized that it was not solely a message about prayer, but a message about scripture, faith, hope, and prayer. For me, there is a joy and excitement, an almost overwhelming earnestness and fervor that I experience each and every time I contemplate this journey. And I want you to know, to believe, that each and every one of you can experience this too. There was a day when I only thought about praying, thought that I would soon begin to live the goodnesses and truths that I learned from sermons, prayer, and myriad other sources. But the reality of actually praying always eluded me. I could have even said of myself that I am not the kind of person who would pray like this or like that. There was a time when I actually felt, that my way of being, that the way I moved through this life was fixed and implacable, that living the actual goodnesses and truths of scripture, hope, faith, and prayer was impossible for me, and that it was an unjust God that would not bestow his favor, his peace, upon the unable. There are many degrees to this place of inability. The more extreme, as was the case with me, to the less extreme, as may be the case for most. I actually feel blessed and graced that my situation was as extreme, as life-threatening as it was. Otherwise, I may not have ever begun this journey. And let me say, from whatever place on the spectrum of, of inability that one starts, it is impossible to conceive of the transformation that this journey can bring prior to taking it. Prayer is a great, enjoyable practice that works, and each and every one of us can develop a deep and abiding practice, whether or not one currently believes such a thing possible. Though hopefully there is actually some greater structure, some outline to my words this morning, I'm going to say many, many things about prayer, both big and small. Don't try to hold on to everything that I say. Just listen for one or two ideas, practices, approaches that resonate deeply with you. These can be a springboard to a vital prayer practice, to a genuinely self-motivated practice, a practice that can and will change your life. Someone once asked, why pray when God is omniscient? When he already knows your deepest affections and thoughts, when he already knows all the deepest affections and thoughts that you have ever had or ever will have, why pray? Our Swedenborgian faith tells us that free will is fundamental to our faith in general and to the development of our faith as individuals in particular. Our faith tells us that the Lord, that providence, constantly puts a choice in front of us, the choice to turn towards the Lord, towards goodness and truth, or away from the Lord, towards evil and falsity. For me, prayer is one of the main mechanisms for constantly, for consciously, for intentionally, keeping this choice in front of me. And prayer is one of the main tools for helping me to continually make choices as they arise. Here are some of the hows and whys in which prayer helps keep me turned towards the Lord, towards goodness and truth. Number one, prayer as a receiving, not an asking. Number two, prayer as a practice to continually create, modify, and correct the story or myth that I wish and hope to be my life, my faith. Number three, prayer as a practice to generate the genuine willingness that will allow the Lord to reform and regenerate the deepest affections of my heart. Number four, prayer is a tool to turn my attention willingly away from the hells, from evil and falsity, and towards the Lord, towards goodness and truth. And finally, prayer is a practice to transform my entire life, especially my inner life and dialogue, into a prayer in and of itself. Before I address these hows and whys individually, let me say that I struggle with and experience the same challenges daily and on an ongoing basis that everyone does. I experience doubt, insecurity, defensiveness, the list goes on and on. But I experience them in a different way today, most importantly because of my prayer practice. I'm able to better accept these character traits and am, to a large degree, no longer their prisoner. So let's start with the first one. Prayer as a receiving, not a requesting. I don't think it could be said any better than in Mark 11 of today's gospel. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This receiving is almost audacious. It assumes a confidence and an assuredness. When I'm praying like this, I'm like an antenna. My body's relaxed. I'm visualizing receiving, feeling receiving, from the inmost and the outmost. I'm resting in the Lord, awaiting the Lord. Those are two words I use sometimes to center myself. I just say them, and I can snap into a good place. And a preemptory attitude of gratitude for what I'm receiving also is very helpful for this. Prayer is receiving, not a requesting. Prayer is a practice to continually create, modify, and correct the story or myth that I wish and hope to be my life, my faith. By writing, memorizing, saying, contemplating, growing and changing my prayers, I maintain and learn the story of my faith. What is the story? Where does it come from? The details of the story, this faith, come to me in many ways, from scripture, from Swedenborg's writings, from theological workshops, online classes, from prayer itself, from spiritual poetry, and from numerous sources, theologies, and faiths. And how do I decide to keep these things in my story or to discard them through experimentation and verification. By saying them repeatedly, I remember them. When I remember them, I try them. And I'm willing to try them because in a major part of my prayer is about the willingness to try these things. I pray them to remember them, and I pray to be willing to try them. Matthew 11's words have actually proven true for me and are a good example of this. The words from Matthew 11. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not hard, harsh, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. So what this has come to mean to me is that whenever I'm feeling hard, harsh, sharp, or pressed, that I'm not in the Lord's will. It's as simple as that. If I'm feeling hard, harsh, sharp, or pressed, I'm not in the Lord's will. And if I can feel wholesome, useful, good, comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, then I am in the Lord's will. So I make mindfulness efforts, prayerful efforts, meditative efforts, whatever I'm involved with, to feel gracious, pleasant, wholesome, at any cost, and it works. So I keep that in my prayer. If it didn't work, I would discard it from my prayer. Today's proverb reading truly reflects a deep and fundamental sentiment that I hold on to as I enter into prayer, almost an aura around my praying, a silently held intent. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There's a love of knowledge and to truly search for it in your prayer and throughout the day. Swedenborg's words on Revelation in today's writing well describe the contemplative aspect of my praying. He will pray for you means that it will thus be revealed. This is clear from the meaning of praying. Regarded in itself, prayer is talking to God and at the same time, some interview of the things that are being prayed for. Answering to this, there is something akin to an influx into the perception or thought of the person's mind, which affects a certain opening of his internals towards God. As I say my prayer slowly, pausing after each phrase, each verse, and wait, new meanings, new shades of meaning bloom and appear, and old meanings slip away. For me, this contemplative approach is always about me. When I pray or read scripture contemplatively, the question that I need to ask is not, what does the scripture mean? But what does it ask of me? The St. Francis prayer is a good example of that. I'll just read a few of the beginning lines. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth. When I pray these lines, I am praying for the willingness to allow the deep changes necessary for the removal of hatred, wrong, discord, and error in myself. Only then would I be able to bring their counterparts of peace, forgiveness, harmony, and truth to the external situation, to others. In Psalm 23, when I say, surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, I mean that I hope and wish to bring goodness and loving kindness to all situations, not that I will always be met with goodness and loving kindness in all situations. Also a key to this contemplative approach is that I am praying daily to remember all the various aspects of my faith as they stand on that day, and also to project these articles of faith out into my day, especially so that they'll help me in times of need. Sometimes it's just a general projection, and sometimes I actually kind of scroll through my day if I know what I'm going to be doing to that level of detail. So that was prayer as a practice to continually create, modify, and correct the story or myth that I wish and hope to be my life, my faith. The next item. Prayer is a practice to generate the genuine willingness that will allow the Lord to reform and regenerate the deepest affections of my heart. Our deepest affections constitute our will, what we really love, also known as our ruling love or loves. Everything that we think, say, feel, or do is generated from these loves, these affections of our hearts. Depending upon where we are in our journey, on the choices that we have made. These affections can vary from the most base and natural loves to the most spiritual and celestial loves. So in my prayer, I pray to see myself as I actually am, no holds barred. This can be a difficult thing to see these things. So I also pray strongly for the acceptance of myself just as I am, to know and remember that the Lord loves me wherever I am on this journey. I'm effectively praying to be willing to let the Lord into these deepest levels to work, whatever the resistance, whatever the fear, to change anything, to try anything, to let go of anything, to destroy or kill anything as necessary. Prayer is a practice to generate the willingness that will allow the Lord to reform and regenerate the deepest affections of my heart. Next item. Prayer is a tool to turn my attention willingly away from the hells, from evil and falsity, and towards the Lord, towards goodness and truth. Willingness is key. The willingness to take one's attention off of unhelpful behavior and turn it towards something good, something true, like prayer or scripture or silence. I have an anti-resentment prayer that's a good example of this. I don't know how many of you suffer from or experience this, but something just won't let go. Some situation, some person, some institution, and the record just won't stop and it keeps coming back to you. My prayer is kind of long, so I won't say it today, but the willingness to say this prayer every time I come upon a building resentment. One day I was in the gym and I said it for every 45 second. I was having a really intense issue with my roommate and I said it for every 45 second break between sets. And I was getting to the place where I was getting uncomfortable when she walked into the room. And just after doing that for one day, I was totally gracious and welcoming towards her again. So I would do this prayer for resentments in the long run and for the immediate effects like that. And this is not repression, as when you do this, you're keeping the best ends in mind, both for yourself and for others, as you make this effort, assuming that you believe and remember the promises of the Word mentioned earlier. Basically, if you believe the promises of the Scripture and you make this effort, you're not suppressing it. You're doing something different. Memorizing Scripture is particularly helpful here, as one is willingly turning toward one's attention to the goodness and truth of the prayer or Scripture. And the prayer of Scripture does not have to exactly relate to the evil, the falsity, the particular difficulty that one is experiencing. It is one's willingness and intention that make this different from a purely psychological effort and different from repression. Silence and keeping one's attention on the body or the breath is just as good as praying with words here. I consider the silent attention a form of prayer also. That was prayer as a tool to turn my attention willingly away from the hells, from evil and falsity, and towards the Lord, towards goodness and truth. And finally, prayer is a practice to transform my entire life, especially my inner life, into a prayer in and of itself. I look at my entire inner life, my entire inner dialogue as a prayer. And my experience and deep introspection has shown me that most of my thinking is unhelpful. In light of this conclusion, I have come to a place where I turn to prayer, the body, or silence, whenever I find myself thinking. The results have been miraculous. The more obvious cases of negativity, judgment, etc., are easy to see. But let me end with one positive example, which could be more difficult to see. I'm driving along, thinking about some theological, philosophical, or psychological issue. But if I really listen to what I'm doing or saying, I find that I'm really trying to convince myself of my righteousness. So I take my attention off of the train of thought and recite verse, or intentionally pay deeper attention to the road and my driving. Prayer is a practice to transform my entire life, especially my inner life, into a prayer in and of itself. I have shared a lot about how and why I pray, about the many ways that prayer can be used as a tool. I have spoken about our lives as a living prayer. We are each so different. The hows and whys of each of our prayers may be seemingly very different. Or, to be more honest with ourselves, the life of prayer that we may envision for ourselves would be very different, uniquely our own. But there is no question for me that each of our lives is meant to be a prayer. To do this, we each need to explore and learn our own individual hows and whys and tools. and where and when they are needed. We need our own hows and whys. And don't judge this prayer that is your life wholly by its outer indications, by your words and actions. For by this rule, this could be a discouraging experience. This prayer is better evaluated by your inner life, by the hows and whys of your prayer, by when and how often you are willing to use your tools to return to your prayer. As today's Swedenborg writing noted, but the experience varies according to the person's state and according to the essence of whatever he is praying for. If his prayer springs from love and faith, and if they are wholly celestial and spiritual things about which and for which he prays, something like a revelation is present within his prayer, which manifests itself in the affection of the one praying in the form of hope, comfort, or some inward joy. If you feel that your prayer falls short of this, and certainly most of ours do, then your prayer can be about the genuine willingness for your prayer to come around to this ideal. As long as you are willing, your prayer is perfect. Let's close our eyes, please. As we leave these moments of prayer and meditation, we do so knowing that our prayers have been heard and answered. And as we enter into this day, Lord, to live your victory and your salvation, we do so walking in love, in peace, in harmony, in serenity, in praise and gratitude towards you, Lord Jesus Christ, and blessing towards all beings, to live a life abundantly to the full till it overflows as you lived and died for us to have. Amen.